From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again, and welcome to this Let the Bible Speak program. Today we'll be looking at the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is probably the most debated, rejected, controversial, and misunderstood of all the commandments. Many Christians exclude it entirely, and I believe they're wrong. Some people, such as Seventh-day Baptists, Seventh-day Adventists, and Messianic Jews, deny that it has its fulfillment in the Lord's Day. I will argue from Scripture that the Lord's Day is the Christian Sabbath, and that it is still God's command that we sanctify it. So, stay with us. Before we turn to God's Word, let me encourage you to be in touch with us. We enjoy receiving your letters, emails, and telephone calls, so do keep them coming. You may contact us by mail at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres, that is FREEPRES, ltbs@freepres.org, or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. three young men, apparently all American boys, have been arrested for the string of arson attacks on churches in Alabama. Now, the Religion News Service is reporting that two of the alleged arsonists had been dabbling in Satanism and the occult. The other, an academic standout and the son of a doctor, wrote to one of the others suggesting a road trip. "Let us defy the very morals of society instilled upon us by our parents, our relatives, and, of course, Jesus." The English may leave a lot to be desired, but the meaning is as plain as day. That young man was at war with God and his Christ. We may ask what led these young men to end up in this mess. Reports tell of alcohol abuse and involvement in satanic and occult practices. According to our roommate, one of the accused made no secret of his involvement in Satanism, claiming that he was on a quest for knowledge. Booze and Satanism are a potent mixture. Can we really be surprised that young men who gave themselves to both have gone so far astray? Though most Americans don't burn churches, do they not, in many cases, commit the same basic follies of those young men? Consider those follies. First, they took to booze. Now, consuming alcohol is a moral choice for which a person must be held responsible. You can't escape the results of your deeds by saying, "I was drunk." A lot of people try to do this, but it won't wash. Drinkers are responsible for the devastation they cause while they are under the influence. The young men in Alabama are not alone in their slavery to booze. It's a national epidemic. Drinkers have turned our roads into slaughterhouses and millions of homes into horror chambers. All over America, children go hungry, live in fear, and are brutally abused because of booze. Madison Avenue may make the booze industry look glamorous, but it's far from glamorous. It's a trade in human suffering and blood. It's a business of profit built on immeasurable pain. The booze industry is the devil's drill sergeant marching its dupes in lockstep on the broad road to outer darkness. Second, the young men in Alabama made the mistake of seeking knowledge from Satan, the greatest liar in all creation. Jesus said that Satan was a liar and the father of lies. Yet these young men were looking for knowledge from Satan. How bizarre! One thing you may be sure of, and that is whatever he led them to believe was a lie. This is Satan's constant labor, to convince men of his lie. And he's very successful, for by nature men are as rebellious against God and his Christ as the young man who wrote proposing to overthrow what Jesus had imposed on him. Satanic activity is rampant, and where you may least expect it. It's interesting that when the New Testament warns us against Satan's wiles, it tells us that his preferred sphere of activity is in the church, and his preferred instruments are false teachers. In other words, the most dangerous form of Satanism around today is not in the church of Satan, but in the apostasy from biblical Christianity that's infecting all too many churches. The third folly of the young men in Alabama was that they apparently could not differentiate reality from make-believe. Two of them were theater students, aspiring actors, and they obviously couldn't distinguish real life from bit parts. In this, they're not alone. One of the bizarre features of modern American life is the extent to which people live out the fantasies of the movies and the television, and refuse to deal with the solemn realities of life, death, and eternity. The entertainment industry has blinded millions to everything but the thrill of the moment. Life is just like a soap opera or a sitcom. But it isn't. And the sooner we can get men and women to start facing up to the realities set forth in the gospel, the better. The final folly of the young men in Alabama was their apparent belief that they could get away with their crime. Just like millions of their fellow countrymen who refused to think of a day of reckoning that the Almighty has set for every man. He says, be sure your sin will find you out. This is true. But also true is his promise, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. It avails for all who will wash and be clean. That includes the young men in Alabama. And it includes you and me. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Chapter 5, verse 12 to 15. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates,
that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. And then for our text, we will read once again from the statement of the law in Exodus chapter 20. We read from verse 8 to verse 11. Tonight we come in dealing with the Ten Commandments to the fourth commandment. Verse 8 of Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from His Word for His own name's sake. By choosing what the Hebrew Scriptures call 10 words to summarize the entire moral requirements of His law, the Lord has very obviously invested each of those words with an enduring majesty and with an awesome authority. Each of these 10 words is a law. It is a divine commandment spoken by the mouth of God and written by the finger of God in tables of stone. Now that goes for the fourth commandment just as much as for the other 9. And I want you to keep that in mind as we progress tonight. That goes for the fourth. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Or as we read in Deuteronomy 5, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. This commandment stands at the end of the first table of the law. You remember in the first commandment, the Lord demanded our exclusive worship. We should have no other gods. Then in the second commandment, the Lord laid down how we ought to worship, according to His dictate and revelation, and not according to the imagination of man. And then, in the third commandment, He enacted that we should reverence His holy name and every way in which He has revealed Himself to men. Now, in the fourth commandment, He stipulates a particular day. He stipulates the observance. The word observance is a very good word. To observe means not just to look at, but it means to keep and to guard. The observance of one day per week as His peculiar day, given to man as a divine gift for their good both physically and spiritually, and also to be sanctified for the Lord's glory. Now think of that for a moment, if you will. The Lord claims 1 day in 7. Now that alone should alert us to the importance of the fourth commandment. 1 day in 7. In other words, if you look at this in the light of an entire lifetime, the Lord is demanding that 1/7 part of all the time that He allots to people in this world will be set aside as a Sabbath unto the Lord. 1/7 part. The famous Southern Presbyterian preacher and theologian, late of the Columbia Theological Seminary, W.S. Plummer, drew attention to that. That this is a law that claims to regulate a seventh portion of human life. He said, if a man lives 21 years, this law controls 3 of those years. It's therefore important. But it also devotes this portion of time to religious purposes. These are the highest ends of all life. He makes this very insightful remark. All other time is secular. This is holy. That other time may be occupied with the things which perish in the using, but this holy time must be given to the things which take hold on eternity. So very clearly, the Lord intends us to see this as an important commandment. But despite the clear importance of the law, not one of the Ten Commandments has roused as much controversy or engendered as many questions or even as much strife as the Fourth Commandment. No other commandment that I know has otherwise sound Christians casting it off entirely as if it were a yoke of Jewish bondage. Indeed, many people see the Sabbath as ceremonial. It was part of the ceremonial law, and therefore it passed away with the other ceremonial laws of the Jews after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. No less a person than Martin Luther discarded the Sabbath entirely as Jewish. Even John Calvin looked upon the Sabbath as largely, though not entirely, ceremonial. And though Calvin did hold to having one day in seven as a Christian Sabbath, it was not in any way as a continuation of the old Sabbath law. And such views persist to this very day. The Fourth Commandment is only ceremonial. Therefore, it is no longer binding. That's the common view. Now, it's not my purpose tonight to take every argument, lift it up, look at it, think of it, turn it around, and then, after you're all bored to tears, try to come to the Scriptures. What I'm going to do will be simply to propose to you, and I want you to notice very carefully what I'm setting out to prove, that the Fourth Commandment is still in force. That it finds its proper observance in our sanctifying the Lord's Day. Now that's what I'm setting out to prove tonight. And I think I'll be able to establish that quite clearly from Scripture, not from the opinions of men, but from the Word of Truth. And I'm asking you to give it your undivided attention. I'm asking you tonight to set aside your prejudices and what you've grown up thinking. I'm asking you to recognize that if, as I think I'll establish, this is the teaching of the Word of God, then it is an abomination beyond description the way modern Christians treat the Lord's Day. Is it any wonder the glory of God has departed from the house of God when the very people of God count what God says is one of His most precious gifts as a vile thing, as an item of bondage, as something they will have nothing to do with. So let's give our attention as we set out to show from God's Word that the fourth commandment is still in force, and it finds its proper observance in our sanctifying the Lord's Day.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.